This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. There's nothing sweeter than baking cookies during the holidays. With Prime, I get all my ingredients delivered right to my door, fast and free. No last-minute store trips needed. And of course, I blast my favorite holiday playlist on Amazon Music. It's the ultimate soundtrack for creating unforgettable memories. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is H1, and we're going to be running it back with another episode talking about chess knowledge, chess wisdom, and chess understanding again. Today, we're going to be discussing how to find checkmate. And I know this is kind of weird to talk about, especially in a podcast, because generally you want to see actual examples of checkmate being done on a board. But there's actually general advice that I can give you. And I found an article by chess.com that they give people to find checkmate easier, especially to beginners that really don't know what checkmate looks like and they're still trying to. I mean, most beginners don't even know when to think about checkmate. So hopefully this article helps you, and it actually gives some pretty legit advice that anybody can learn from. Let's get through it right quick. And this article is from chess.com, published August 5th, 2020. The article is called Finding Checkmate. I guess it's by National Master Dane Mattson. That's what it says right here. I want to give everybody the credit because I'm going to expand on it, but I want to give the publisher the credit because, I mean, shoot, they put in the work and they give good advice too. Anyway, the first thing that they went over here was the term pawn race. And it says right here, when both sides only have kings and pawns, it's essential to count how many moves each side will take to promote. Usually whoever gets there first will win the game. I'm guessing this contributes to if you're definitely trying to get checkmate in the fastest manner, especially if both sides only have kings and pawns on the board, your main priority should be trying to promote that pawn to get a more powerful piece, hopefully a queen or like a rook or something that the piece and the king can work together with to checkmate the opponent's king. And hopefully like take all their pawns, make sure that they don't get the option to promote too. And so, yeah, this is actually, that's some good advice, you know, especially in the end game for most beginners. Secondly, it says checkmate in two moves. It's helpful to look at all the checks for each side and see if there are checkmates or other tactics available on the next move. And that's the second term that it talks about. And that this is primarily true. And, you know, as if it was perfect, it would be every single move, I would say, look for checks. But since we're not, definitely, if you have the option to check the opponent, just always look for that. Once you start developing pieces, once you get the minor pieces out there, the rooks on open files, your king, castle, the things of that nature. Yeah, it's really good to look for checks on your side and on your opponent's side, too. Next, don't just check. And this is going to be some good advice too. Attacking the king is great, but it's not always the right move. Be patient, make sure that a check accomplishes a goal, like helping to mate or preventing your opponent from castling. If your opponent has a useful move to get out of check, it's probably not worth it. This is some good general advice for anybody that's looking for checkmate. If you don't see the checkmate, then there's really no point of checking the opponent's king unless, you know, I feel like we're in this fast chess era where, of course, if you're low on time, you got like 10 seconds or 20 seconds left, you know, do all the checks possible to try to flag them on the board, you know what I mean? But if you're playing a classical game and you see that you have a check, but it doesn't lead to anything else, if the check doesn't accomplish another goal in the position, And especially if there's no checkmate, then there's no point of doing the check. If you can't rationalize why to do the check, then you shouldn't even do the check in the first place. Most beginners, and actually people that is expert level, do this fall for this mistake too. Because there's some times where the threat is better than the execution, and you have to utilize that principle. The check being there is actually more of a threat so that the opponent is walking on eggshells while doing their next moves. And so, yeah, it's a good threat to actually leave in a position to keep the tension there most times. Next, we got king safety, the king safety section. Never forget to protect your most important piece, the king. A material advantage doesn't matter if there's checkmate. Be careful to defend potential checkmating squares near your king and to give your king escape routes if needed. That is really important. It's easier to attack the opponent, especially if your king is already safe. The opponent can't check your king at all. You could kind of actually, once you start playing more chess games and knowing all the checkmate patterns, you could kind of suspect what checkmate patterns that your opponent is trying to do before they even, like two moves before they even try to do the plan. And so those are a few things that each chess player needs to be careful of. And that goes along with king safety too. And it says this part right here, a material advantage doesn't matter if there's checkmate. And that is completely true. When you're attacking, one of the main things that, it doesn't matter if you sacrifice all your pieces in front of your opponent's king and then you have checkmate in three, it really doesn't matter of the sacrifice pieces that you gave away, because you can deliver checkmate. So if there's a forcing checkmate with a sacrifice, do that sacrifice. Don't ignore it at all. Take that opportunity to accomplish that sacrifice and go along with that checkmate. Because we actually should be looking for checkmates when the opponent's king isn't safe, and especially if their king is not even castled at all. Now, there's two more subheadings here. Weak targets, F2 and F7. The F2 and F7 pawns are only defended by the king in the starting position, so it could be subject to attack. I don't know what the checkmate in two moves section was all about, but I'm just brainstorming exactly where they was trying to get at with that. But this section actually makes a lot of sense. The F2 and F7 pawns are the weakest pawns on the chessboard, especially when it starts, because the king is the only thing defending those pawns. Now, you don't always get tactics on those pawns, but usually if you're playing like the Gucci Go Piano, the Roy Lopez, things of that nature, you're gonna see a lot more tactics, especially if you're an E4, E5 player. You're gonna see tactics along those pawns a lot of times. It's very rare for tactics to be on those pawns if you're playing D4 or your opponent's a D5 player. Now, the back rank checkmates, I didn't finish the F2, F7 section. It says right here, if you can attack your opponent's F pawn with two pieces when it's only defended by the king, you can frequently win material or checkmate. A good defensive idea is to castle so that your rook defends the F pawn. And so that's some general advice, always castle so that the pawn is defended twice instead of once by your opponent's king. And then you don't want to always give the option for your opponent to mess up your castling privileges. Because once they sacrifice a piece on the F2, F7 pawn, I don't know about y'all, but most of those times you have to capture that sacrifice piece. And yeah, your king isn't going to castle. And if you prolong the game without castling, then tactics is going to come out of nowhere on those pawns. And so that's just something that each player has to think about, especially you E4 players out there. Back rank checkmates. This is the last section. It says, castling is a good idea, but if the king is in the back rank without other pieces to defend it, it may be vulnerable to a back rank checkmate from a rook or queen. It's often a good idea to advance one pawn in front of the king to create an escape square and avoid mate. Yeah. Yeah. You need an escape square. I see people even my level, like expert level, still blunder back ring checkmates, especially in bullet. Not so much in classical or anything that's longer time control, but you still see it. And if nobody is exactly getting threatened by back ring checkmate, but maybe they are threatening. I mean, nobody actually getting back ring checkmated, but there are situations where it is threatened because you forgot to give your king that escape square, doing a move like your castle on the king side, doing a move like h3, or castle on the queen side, putting the king to b1 and doing a move like a3 is a good habit to get into so that you don't lose in that way ever again, because it sucks. It really does suck if you're actually winning but you forgot about that one square that your opponent rook can go into to attack your king, and then like all your pieces are attacking the opponent's king and they just survive because they have back rank checkmate. It sucks, but everybody dealt with it before and learned from it and most likely don't do it again after being checkmated that way. But if you're a person that repeats mistakes, I'm sorry. That's a mistake that I do not want to repeat, especially in my life. Anyway, this was a really good article. I like it. It was pretty simple. Not a lot of people actually talk about this in a podcast setting, so I don't know if there's specific people that only listen to chess podcasts, but here you go. Hopefully this helps out. Keep on fighting to the end. Staying focused in chess and in real life too. And, you know, go make that bread, bro. Peace.